Blog Talk Radio.
Get my head, Dick. Get the other one ready. Ready? Got it. I guess you didn't have a
quick. I figured I had 10 seconds.
Oh,
and
all right. Well, we did work it out. Well, we worked it out, and I wasn't paying attention. All right, go do what you got to do. I'll do that.
I'm done. I'm back.
Ah.
I was just waiting for one of your ubiquitous openings, and I don't even know if that's the right word.
I like.
I don't know what the fuck you people do.
I know. The simple radio program.
Simple radio program.
All right. Where shall I begin?
Should we start over?
I promise. Let's start over. Play the opening again. Let's do the whole thing over. Let's start
all right, well,
it all over.
All right, wait a minute. Blog
okay.
Talk Radio.
Blue shirt on the ground.
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground.
Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking anger?
Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking anger? And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ranger fans of all ages, I welcome you to another broadcast of Blue Shirt Underground Radio. The smooth professional version.
The sequel.
My name is Edward F. Geich. The F stands for Forget About It. And Jim Schmiederberg also will be joining me in just a second, as I'm supposed to open the show with some kind of revelation about the New York Rangers. We stand before you, a team that only has 2 points in 2 games. My Lord, the world is coming down. We are talking people off the ledge in IMs on Facebook daily that the Devils and Islanders have somehow found the victory column and our blessed New York Rangers have not. And I'll get to my rant about what I was going to rant about. But I can't do that right now. Because it has nothing to do with the first 2 games. It has something to do with John Tortorella. And it has nothing to do with John Tortorella's banishing of Sean Avery. I could care less. Sean's in a better place, so to speak. Well, actually, he's not. He's in Hartford, which is running up there with Detroit as far as places to visit. If you want to visit hell before it happens. My partner for tonight's broadcast, as always, the great Jim Schmiederberg. Jim, how you doing tonight?
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Two points
in 2 games and 2 goals, right?
That is correct.
2 points, 2 goals. Too much.
You can see we're following this team. It's not following this team real close. The New York Rangers have not, been putting the biscuit on the opposing goaltenders' pads. It's been kind of an awkward start. But let's face it, it's an awkward start. Just the fact that all this traveling and this nonsense that they've had to deal with. It's, a lot of people will say, yeah, listen, they got 2 points in 2 games. That's pretty good for the wackiness they're about to, the wackiness they're in the midst of right now as far as this nonsensical travel. So where do you want to start? I feel uncomfortable leading because, you know me, I'm more of a serial type guy. I like to go all over the place. I have no, it's all chaos with me. you are my guiding light.
There's no agenda.
You are I'll sit here and talk about Wojciechowski's 4 minutes of first period ice time for 3 hours. You know, and everybody will say, whatever they say to people. So where do you want to go with this? Let me tell you, I just want to say this one thing. This may be the greatest radio broadcast ever tonight. This people who are here are witnessing internet radio magic as it happens. So anyway.
Internet radio magic. I like that. Good evening, everyone. Glad you guys are here. The chat room looks awful small tonight.
Well, you know, it's people have a lot. See, this is what I say in the summer. I say, these are the diehards. These are the people who want to talk Ranger hockey. And as the season progresses, it gets more and more and more. And then you have all your bandwagon clowns will be here. Not that we just like the bandwagon clowns, but right now they're thinking about their football and their football fantasy teams and all this stuff. Hockey right now, this is the diehards. This is the guys I want to go to war with, Jim, that I speak of every week. Plus, we have a tremendous amount of people listen to us on podcast.
That's
you
true.
Know that.
Millions and, listening around the world.
Right. So that's a good thing. So So I don't know where you want to start. You guide me, Capitan.
Well, I don't know if you want to – I don't know if it's – you know, a lot of times when we get into the regular season, we kind of recap the games. We go through the games. And how much is it a recap? They got, 2 goals in 2 games. talk about, you know, players, individual efforts, whatever. There's not, I mean, there just wasn't a whole lot going on. You know, they were third period of the Ducks game. I think they had three shots on goal, the last one being Richard's goal, which was a beautiful goal and hopefully a harbinger. Is it harbinger or harbinger? Harbinger, right? I like that
harbinger.
Word. I'll use it. It's a harbinger of things to come. And did you see the latest today now? Did you see who's on the first line now, today?
Derek, I saw some of the...
Come on down! You're the next contestant on Make This First Line Work.
I mean, you would think they're looking for the Lindbergh baby here. I mean, it's such an exhaustive search to find a left wing to play with these two guys. Just throw anybody out there. What do I care? It has to.
Well,
first of all, any time wasted on trying to figure the Rangers line, any time is wasted if you're trying to find out lines for the Rangers. This guy's got ADD. He's just, Tortorella is never going to keep the same lines.
Oh, he's got the patience of a man with his pubics on fire. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely absurd. A shift is, there's no chemistry on this shift. I got to change it. It's all the same. You know, I'm not sure you would call me, I wouldn't say I'm staunchly in John Tortorella's corner. I'm not a Torts apologist. I'm not a huge fan of his. I do like him. I do think he is a good coach. I don't think, you know, I'm already seeing fire Tortorella. And I just want to reach through the internet and strangle you. I don't care who you are. To suggest that after two games that they fire the head coach, you're an idiot. I mean, like them, dislike them, I got no problem with that. You are entitled to your opinion. You're a fan. That's what it's all about. Every coach in every sport has his fans and he has his detractors, no matter who you are. But they're not going to fire John Tortorella two games into the season. Who are you going to get? You want Mike Sullivan to coach the team? You want to bring up Ken Jernander from Hartford? You want to go get there? I mean, what do you want to do? We're stuck. Him or hate him, he is here, and he's not going anywhere. So get used to the line jiggling. Get used to the cryptic comments and all these press conferences. You know, get your sit there and listen to what he has to say, like I do, and listen to it three or four times to try and figure out what it decodes into. You know, you got to sit there with the little Orphan Annie decoder thing from Christmas Story to try and figure out what he's really trying to say, because everything is in code. He's like Berlin Betty. And, you know, but he's not going anywhere. And to suggest after two games that he's going to get fired or he should be fired is preposterous. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, my criticisms of him have nothing to do with the two games that have happened. And this just didn't. Rangers got two goals in the first game. Callahan and Gavrik.
Oh, that's right. We Jesus, goals are so hard to come by. We got no right. How dare we? How dare we shorten them one?
And if you want to go over the first game, I I'll get to my Tortorella thing. I thought the Rangers played they came out slow. It wasn't something, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like it took a while for them to get there. And listen, it's tough for them. You know, the whole team defensively is in. Has to move up one,
right?
As far as on defense goes, and it looked like, I think for that game they had McDonough and Girardi playing together, and McDonough looked like he could handle the extra minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what you can, you know, give me your thoughts, but I think Girardi has picked up right where he left off in the playoffs against Washington, because we talked about it on the show several times during the course of the playoffs, that he really elevated, I thought, and I think you agreed with it, he elevated his game in the playoffs last year against the Capitals, and he seems to me to have picked up right where Game 5 left off of that series, because he's played very, very well. He's really stepped up in Staal's absence.
Yes, so far, so good. He surely can use the excuse that, what you call it, Stoll's not around. You know, I'm playing with a different guy. It's going to take some time to adjust, but he stepped up and did his job, and he played 30 minutes in that first game.
Yeah.
That's Stoll minutes. I mean, that's
yep.
And then McDonough played 27 minutes. I'm looking right here. So Ryan McDonough, you know, continues to be that stalwart, you know, that defensive guy that's
no pun intended.
Gonna, yeah, really. just doing very well, you know. So it's good to see that. In that game, Callahan had that crazy 11 shots on goal. He was just a whirling dervish, as they say out there, and really made a lot of Ranger fans happy because, you know, like to see the captain get off on a good start, gets the goal on that crazy, wacky, angled shot that was, like, from the corner on the goal line. I really thought that Quick should have had that. But,
yeah, it kind of
it was a nice
bounced off his keister, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a slick shot, and I'm glad it went in, but really, if I would be very disappointed if I was the coach and I had to, you know, see that goal go in. And the Rangers didn't have much after that, I thought, until they scored again, and that was Gavrik getting the goal, and I was glad to see him score because, say, if he hadn't scored these two games, it was like, oh, Gavrik's a bust with Richards.
The HF boards would be alive with trade proposals for Marion Gavrik.
Yes. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that usually there's some kind of trade, yeah, like you said. I'm looking at here. Scott Stager was a healthy scratch for this game.
Yeah, they carried three goaltenders to Europe.
Oh, I didn't know that. See?
Yes. And then as soon as they got back, he was returned to who's the – I don't remember the team he plays on. I guess it's an OHL team. I can't remember now. He was returned. Him and maybe Brendan Bell, I guess, were sent down.
Those return. Were the two extra guys that were allowed, I guess, in Europe or whatever. I don't know. So that game was kind of a wacky game. The Rangers got it to overtime. Well, actually, they had the lead. And then Mike Richards scored.
Yeah.
And made it 2-2.
Four minutes left.
Yep. And then, of course, it's overtime. Welcome to One Goalville again. I mean, this is a perfect lead-in for my rant because I'm already tired of the one-goal wins, and, well, we haven't won yet, but the one-goal losses. I mean, I know it's game two, but it seems like I'm back in last year again, you know? And I think this is going to be the way it's going to be, you know? I just feel the way the team is made up and the mindset is that, yes, we're going to be competitive, we're going to forecheck, we're going to jam, we're going to do all this stuff. But we just aren't going to play offensive after the first line. It's just going to be, we're going to ride the guys we pay to score the goals, which is fine. But anybody else that we're not paying, that Sather hasn't brought in here, you're not going to play if you're offensively minded. And the only enigma in the whole thing is why Erik Christensen still is on this roster. I have no idea, and all my apologies to your friend who loves Erik Christensen. I saw him interviewed on MSG, Jim. First of all, his eyes, like, he doesn't know where he is, I don't think. They're all over the place. Well, I just got to get my confidence back. What are you, 10 years in this league with your confidence? Get out of here. Get off my team. Get off my team, please. There's certainly better players anywhere in the minor leagues than this guy. I mean, is it that bad? And then, you know, I was all PO'd. And I know I got a soft spot. I like to see offensive players play offense and not get thrown to the wolves by Tortorella. And it's like, you know, Volsky played 4 minutes. What is that going to do? In the first period, I'm like, that sends a message to a player. He worked out with Barbara Underhill, and he's this and that. He's working hard. He's going to play with Richards and Gaborik, and then it's, bam, 4 minutes. Then today, I hear that they're going to put Zuccarello with Prust and Christensen. It's like Zuccarello, you know, Slatt signed this guy as a free agent for the Swedish Elite League. The guy has only one sole purpose to be in the NHL, and that is to be offensive. And he's burying him with these guys on the fourth line. And I just feel that anybody offensive, unless Sathan gets him at a high price, you have no chance of making this team. You have to be, and I'm not knocking him, so I don't want cards and letters, but if you're not Ruslan Fedotenko, a guy who's an honest, hardworking player, you have no chance of making this team if offense is what you're specialized in. You have to back check like Bob Gainey to make this team. Those guys, and there's nothing wrong with being defensively responsible. I'm not saying that. But, you know, do you think if the Rangers got Danny Heatley, it would take him 5 games before Torts would have benched him because he's not playing two-way hockey? Sometimes you need
Heatley on the fourth line with Mike Rupp.
Exactly. You know? Because if you think about it, all the guys that Sather has tried to bring in, and let's say, I mean, I don't want to say, it's not that the guys say this board have been stellar. They were dogs pretty much anyway. But, you know, everyone, and especially offensive players, if you notice, Torch really crucifies the offensive players. Now, Michael Delzato, whether he could be considered an offensive player at this juncture, I don't know. But in the beginning of his career,
he's offensive, all right.
Yeah. think about the asshole that he ripped on. He ripped freaking Delzato's bunghole on the bench at the Garden, right? Think about the guys that he has completely had falling. It's going all the way back to Zheredev, going all the way back with Volsky, you know, with his benching, and then Zuccarello, you know, being sent down. Now, I know Zuccarello's young, but certainly he's you know, he was up here for 40 games. And, you know, I've been critical of him, and I know that the point I'm trying to make is basically he has little but no tolerance for anybody that doesn't play a solid two-way game. And you can't have three lines of the solid two-way guys and one line all the pressure on two guys to score. I just think it's stupid. Now, it works to a certain degree if you want to watch one-goal games all year, which I think we're going to be watching. But when I think about it, if we have to watch one-goal games and we have the best goaltender in the league, it makes no sense to be ultra-conservative defensively. If we're still losing by one goal and we have Lundqvist, you might as well go all balls-out offense and let Lundqvist try to save the game. So, I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with Tortorella, and I certainly think there's a disconnect between what Sather wants and what Tortorella wants. I think that is becoming clearer as this relationship unfolds now. Is that, and, you know, again, if you're drafted by Gordy Clark, you got a good chance of making the team because he does draft guys that are two-way guys. And the Rangers really, frankly, haven't had high enough draft picks where they get, like, you know, a Cam Fowler. Well, actually, they could have drafted Cam Fowler, but, you know, where they could get, you know, like a Nugent Hopkins or
a franchise guy.
Franchise guys like a Taylor Hall, where he's this right. Guy's you know,
a game, you know, a franchise-altering player, a phenom.
I wonder if these guys would see ice time, or they'd be buried on with Mike Rupp and Eric Christensen. You know, so I feel like he's too conservative, and it seems the people who get under his under the radar automatically are guys who are offensive. And listen, you can't score every game. I mean, I'm not saying that these guys are productive. I'm not saying Wojtek Volski, but I wanted to see him get a fair shake right off the bat. Now, I know he tweaked his groin, he's been out, but I don't think he's getting a fair shake. You know, you can certainly back check every game and play defensive, and you can do that in the NHL, but the score is a different thing. So I think the accountability is a little different. You know, I want to see Wojtek Volski get 25 goals, 20 goals. Put him on the goddamn left wing of the first line. I mean, what is the problem?
Well, can I jump in here for a second on Volski? Okay.
No.
All right.
I'm only kidding.
I was watching the Kings game with my brother, right? And I believe it was in the third period. I don't remember the exact point in the game. Volski's in the offensive zone, and he turns the puck over. And I think it was Kopitar going the other way, right? Now everybody's chasing Kopitar, and Volski is just gliding along, right? I mean, he's just lollygagging his way down the ice. Certainly not showing any of the skills he learned under one Miss Barb Underhill, okay? Now, so I'm sitting there with my brother, and I paused the game, and I rewound it, and I said, watch this. And he said, what am I looking at? I said, watch Volski coming out of the zone. He's like, what am I missing? I said, watch what everybody else is doing and watch what Volski's doing. Just put the circle on Volski and watch what he's doing. He's like, what the hell's he doing? He's in no particular hurry to get to the other end of the ice, is he? I said, that's why he's not getting ice time. Not even 3 minutes later, the exact same thing happens with the Richards line on the ice. And Richards is going balls out to get back to the defensive zone. That's the exact same thing I said about Volski after the first game we saw him play for the Rangers. He just doesn't go all out every shift.
Man, no, it's making me laugh. If Tortat Gretzky would play 6 minutes, be on the line with Rupp and Kolarik. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Gretzky or Wayne Gretzky?
But you know what, though? I didn't see that particular play.
Polish. Oh, man.
Happy
birthday, Eva. Eva's in the chat.
Yes.
Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday. It'll be interesting to see how this unfolds, but it looks like it's a lot. It's just going to be very hard to watch because every game is going to be going to overtime or a shootout again. I mean, it's two games. Who knows? But, the good thing is the Rangers are young, you know, and I posted on the Facebook today, fourth youngest team in the league. You take the goalies away, they're the second youngest team. You take away the Devils' goalies' ages and they're embryos. The Devils, I think. But
80 years,
you know,
of goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, so it's Ranger fans are, I love them, but some of them, like you said in the opening, just flipping out over these two games.
I equivocate that to, it's. And I'm trying not to generalize, but because it doesn't apply to all of them. But I you and I have talked about this before, maybe not on the show, but it's that Yankee fan mentality. That's the mentality of a Yankee fan. Every loss, Joe Girardi must be fired. Every win, we're going to win the World Series. Every loss, they are devastated with every loss, and they let their lows get too low and their highs get too high. And a lot of Yankee fans are also Ranger fans, and I just think that carries over with them. Every loss to a Yankee is just catastrophic. How can anyone beat us? We're the Yankees. You know what I mean? It's just fire Girardi, fire this one, fire that one, trade this one. This one guy sucks, whatever. And I really think it's that Yankee fan mentality that creeps into their Ranger fandom. Gotta be patient. I told you last week it was going to be a slow start. Slow start. I underrated this trip and the toll it would take on them, but apparently just the fact that they weren't practicing, they didn't have a full training camp, I guess it's taken their toll on them. But, I was hoping to be a little team bonding out of it, and maybe in June when they win the Stanley Cup, they'll say, that trip to Europe, running around chasing European women, really bonded us in a team, and that's why we won the Cup. But,
it could, The long layoff, though, they play these two games, and, we're sitting around watching the rest of the league play, and I'm going, my friends, who are not so in tune with the Rangers are like, when are they playing? And they go, Saturday against the Islanders. And they're like, wow, that's almost like a week off.
Yeah, but you know what? For once, the Rangers will be the ones with the games at hand. Maybe we won't get to the end of December and be like, oh, the Rangers are in fourth place. They got 62 points or whatever. Yeah, but Boston's got 17 games at hand. They're right behind. Maybe this year we'll be the team with the games at hand for a change.
Yes, that's true. Because usually it's like, oh, Boston and Buffalo. Buffalo's creeping up.
Right.
They got 21 games at hand.
Yeah, we're coming down to the Rangers are playing like game 81, but Montreal's got to lose their last 14 games for the Rangers to make the playoffs.
I think the real panic, now please, God do not strike me dead for saying this, but so if we happen to lose to the Islanders,
boy.
Then I think you're going to see some more people coming out on that ledge. When Travis Harmonic scores, and some of those other wackadoos they got over there, then you can see a little panic time. But you're right, and I don't think it's so much a Yankee mentality. I think it's the mentality of the youngsters. And when I mean youngsters, the younger guys, younger fans. We've been through many wars, most of us in this chat room too. Maybe, we've seen a lot of Ranger hockey. And you realize that, if you go game by game in an 82-game season with the New York Rangers, you'll be ready for the freaking cuckoo house if you live and die each game.
And die each game in the playoffs, not regular season. At least not until April or late March even.
Well, for Ranger fans, we live and die the last 10 games of the season because that's what it comes down to.
Right, that's where we make the push.
Right.
I also think that, like you said, it's the younger generation, and I think tied to that is there's just too many ways for people to complain nowadays. You got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got 400 New York Ranger blogs and message boards and Tumblr and everything else. There's just too many ways, back in the days, like when we were growing up, like let's say 1985, right? If the Rangers lost a game, who'd you have to complain to? Your buddy down the street. That was about it, right? If you wanted the coach fired, it was just, I really ought to fire this guy. But there was no sports radio to call into. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was no MySpace. What, are you going to put an ad in a Penny Saver? Fire Tortorella. Fire Ted Sater. This guy's got to go.
And plus, there's nowhere other than this show or the message boards or whatever, to vent your frustrations. There's like not an FAN where you can go, I can't believe this and that. That adds to it. But you're right. Back then, there was just, now there's an outlet to complain about everything. Before then, it was like, Dad, the Rangers are shut up, mow the lawn,
It was You talked Rangers with your buddies that were Ranger fans, maybe your dad or your uncle or whoever, and that was it. Other than that, the only other time you talk Rangers is on the train on the way to the game and on the way home, and then where you're at the game, That was it.
Yeah, I agree. It gets a little crazy, But, you know, people are amped up. The all season, they're waiting for this. And it's frustrating. Anytime, even though they that wacky circus 4-on-4 overtime, and I want to talk a little about that. That guy had pure nads calling that penalty in freaking overtime on 4-on-4. Because then it's a 4-on-3.
Right.
I mean, unless somebody is getting decapitated out there, don't call a freaking penalty. Okay? I don't care. Either way, I'm not just saying because it didn't went the Rangers' way. A 4-on-3 is like, come on.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's a, you know, we can sit here and bitch about the shootout and the overtime, which I totally think is ridiculous. But a 4-on-3, somebody's got to be shot out there. Somebody's got to be coming up with a Zapruder film afterwards to prove that penalty, as far as I'm concerned. And they get the penalty, and Andrei Kopitar scores. Now you go to the Anaheim game. Which is like, can the Rangers get any shots on net? What do they have? 14 shots on net in that game? I mean, what's going on? I mean, this is why the lack of offense is so frustrating to me, because I have to watch my team get 14 shots in 60 minutes of hockey.
Three in the last period.
I mean, is that what we're striving for, ladies and gentlemen? This is what we saw last year. A lot of this, I wouldn't say a lot last year. Last year was I appreciate the Rangers' effort. I am proud of this team. I am certainly proud of this team. They are a hard-working team. When they're working on all cylinders, right now they're trying to find their feet. And that's great. But I want to see that translate into maybe 4-2 victories. You know, if it's going to be 1-1 and 2-1, you know what?
Even a 5-4 loss, you know?
Right. Give me a couple of lazy Russians. You know what I'm saying? Throw me a bone. Maybe we win 6-1. I mean, we had like those last year we had those, you know, big victories that came out of nowhere. Like, you know, they beat Edmonton like 7-0. But there was any competitive shootouts, I thought. Although I think they played Pittsburgh a couple times in Cthulhu. I don't know. It's hard to remember last year, but
they had some terrific wins last year. Come from behind. Pittsburgh game was, I think Staal got the late goal, and then they won it in overtime. And the big win, the comeback win against Boston, the big win, two big wins against the Caps, the big win against the Islanders, the big win against the Oilers. But, you know, and I'd love to steal your line that you used. It used to be safe as death, and now it's just death. What happened to safe as death?
I don't know. I think he's afraid. I think he's built this team like, you know, the 85 Bears. I mean, you know, you got a couple weapons, and the rest of you guys better all be penalty killers. That's what it is to me. I mean, if you think about it, there's not so many Rangers that aren't capable of killing the penalties. And killing penalties. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you can't go either way too far. There's got to be a mix. You know, there's got to be a little bit of mix. Or basically, you're the, 94-95 Devils. I mean, that's what it is. It's interchangeable guys. But on the other hand, I guess if you wanted to take Tortorella's side, he'd say, well, I have young players that now they know the defensive part of the game. Now their offense can emerge. But if you
turn
want
them loose.
Then maybe they are loose. Who knows? That could be the thing. But again, it's only two games, Jim, so I don't want to get too crazy.
But, you know, that first game against the Kings, I got to the end. After that game was over, I'm thinking to myself, man, if Ryan Callahan's going to be the leading shot getter on this team all season long, we got problems. If they're going to depend on Ryan Callahan. And I love Ryan Callahan. And I think that a lot of that was, you know, adrenaline, first time on the ice with the C, you know, regular season, the whole bit. And, hey, you know, love seeing him score and everything. But, man, if they're going to – I want to see Gabrick and Richards – taking 11 shots, not Ryan Callahan. Because if Because if Gabrick and Richards are taking 11 shots a game, two of them, at least two or three of them should be going in.
I agree. So, we'll see what happens. Again, can't get too crazy. I'm not worrying yet. Give me the Islander game, and then I'll start to worry.
Are you going to the Islander game?
No, I'm not. I think there's a little shindig for Eva, who is.
You're not going to be in the
What is that? Where is that? I thought it was at
I don't know.
Cafe 31. I think it's Cafe 31. I think.
I thought they were going to the game, and I thought they were just meeting up beforehand and having a little party. And
I don't know. I didn't even get an invitation to this thing.
Oh, okay.
My wife got the invitation. I think it's Cafe 31.
So
I'm not in charge of my own itinerary. This is how my life goes.
So you're not going to the party or the game, is what you're saying?
No, I'm going to wherever this party is.
You're going to the party instead of going to the game.
Yeah, I will be there. And if any of you fans want to come down, feel free. Cafe 31, it's right across from the Garden.
So the Rangers are playing a game at Nassau Coliseum, and you're going to go to Madison Square Garden.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. There's no Applebee's out on the island there they could have a little shindig at and go to the game?
I like Applebee's.
Or Friendly's or something?
You know, I like Friendly's too.
We've broken bread at a Friendly's.
Yes.
I heard the sad news. I actually got a call from my brother the other day. Oh, Friendly's is in trouble. They filed for Chapter 11.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I know. That was not good, but mostly upstate, I think they're closing.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the scoop on the Friendly situation.
That's the business report.
And just to go back to the ending of the Ducks game, I thought we had it. We had him in the shootout. I mean, he stops Corey Perry, he stops Getzlaff, and he stops Solani. I'm like, well, the only guy they got left is Bobby Ryan, and the rest of them, it's going to be a clown show. And Bobby Ryan kind of flubbed on the puck, and he got it past Henrik. But our guys, our bread-and-butter guys, Erik Christensen did his signature move, miss. Zuccarello, the Frodo from Moto, he's doing that same backhand to forehand move across the crease there. He's got to get something else in his repertoire. I got news for you. And then Autumn, I still find Autumn a very odd choice. Although he has scored in the past. Take over. I got an Autumn in my throat.
All right. Let me grab a phone call here. 347-894. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How are you?
Hey, Rock. Welcome back.
I'm joking.
How's everything?
All is well. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I'm laughing. The safest death. I thought the same thing when I was watching those two games over the weekend, and I turned to my friend and I said, "Whatever happened to safest death?" And the little ad, I like that. It's just death. That's perfect. That's the perfect example of what was shown, especially in the Anaheim game. And I was disappointed they lost. Obviously, I thought when they were getting to the shootout that they were going to win. I really thought they were going to win. But at least they're getting to overtime. I think last year they got to overtime. I think six times. So they're already a third there. Or almost halfway there. So at least they're getting points, and they're not just losing by one goal in regulation. So if there's a silver lining for those two games in Europe, then that's probably a good thing. But I agree with Eddie about Wolski. I mean, I personally feel that he's hurt now, but he's going to be this year's. Alexander Frolov, I think he's not going to last the season with this team, especially for the amount of money he's making. And I don't know. I don't see him longing in a Ranger uniform. So from that perspective, it is what it is. And as far as Christensen's concerned, I guess he's the lesser of two evils. You're paying him less than you're paying Avery, and he's an NHL body, and he could do something, I guess. I mean, obviously he didn't do anything in the shootout, but, normally he's been pretty good with that. So it's the lesser of two evils, I guess. So I don't know. I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed with their effort. I think they're just shot. I think they were just shot. They looked exhausted. And like I told you, our last conversation last week, this is what happens when you play inferior competition leading into a regular season game. You're playing on a bigger ice surface against inferior competition. And I'm not surprised that they came out the way they did. So, let's hope that they're back. They're rested and they're ready to play an Islander team that, always gets up to play them. So let's hope that they're ready to play Saturday night and we don't see a lot of the same things.
Well, you're certainly right there. Now that the Heimlich was performed on me, I'm back.
Are you all right now?
Yes. Dr. Vinny Bumbatz was in here and he straightened me out. I wanted to say yes. This is a positive thing. Points. We need all the points we can muster. We know this after the last two or three seasons where it comes down to the last, the end of the year. So getting points is certainly a positive. I agree with you. Volsky's just not in the plan. He's just not in the plan. And I don't know if you guys were aware of this, switching to gears with Avery, that Avery being sent down now has put Dallas in a precarious situation because they were carrying part of his salary.
Mm-hmm.
Now Dallas is below the cap floor because they're not carrying part of Avery's salary.
They just acquired Eric Nystrom today. So they're over the cap.
Oh, very good. Okay. So now I don't have to worry about Dallas anymore. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for the Rangers? So now the Rangers are on the hook for the whole salary now.
No. They're on the hook for the $1.9 million, and it comes off the cap, and, that's really it. He's hurt.
Okay.
And friggin' Kolarik's winding up having to – he's on the injured reserve too, so you can't send an injured player to the minors. So Kolarik got hurt in training camp, so he's actually on the Rangers book too. He's on the IR on the Rangers books too for, $525,000, whatever it is. So it's one more wasted cap space, but
semantics. So, I mean, what did you see, Rock? Yeah, I know you watched both games intently.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see good and what did you see bad? Other than maybe something you haven't discussed yet.
I'm happy, too, that Richards and Gabrick both got goals. I thought that was important to get them on the score sheet quickly because I think that if the two of them kind of – I mean, they only scored three goals, and, they each had one. So I think if they, didn't score or Days might have, they got on the score sheet right away, and I thought that was perfect. And, what Richards did, I mean, that was just a perfect shot. I mean, they only had three shots in the third period. I thought he played well. I'm a little bit surprised that he seems like he got knocked off the puck a lot, but we're going with positives. I thought Lundqvist was fantastic, and someone made a point of saying that Lundqvist is normally a slow starter, but he looks fantastic already. And hopefully that's an indication, we'll get him some rest, and he's going to have to – if this team can't score, and from what we've seen the first two games, and hopefully that's just, the dregs of playing in Europe, but if this team isn't going to score, he's going to be leaned on again to win these 2-1, 3-2 games, every night. So, I thought he was fantastic. I thought Girardi played well. I thought Delzato played well. I thought their defense in general was pretty good, except for Steve Eminger.
Oh.
He's the only one that I thought was horrible. And, another guy I don't think that's going to last the season here. But we're grasping at straws, but, other than him, I thought their defense was pretty good.
He's been terrible through the first two games. Oh. I think he's starting to turn back into a pumpkin.
You know what it is? He's exploited now because he's playing minutes or playing with – he's not playing with a halfway decent defense, but he's playing with a rookie. And he's being used in a position where he's probably shouldn't be. He should have – he's this team's seventh defenseman. You know, I mean, he should be playing once in a while against, you know, the crappy teams. That's what he should be playing, or giving a guy a night off if he's banged up. You know, he's their seventh defenseman. But, like you said, I think he's probably been, in my opinion, he was the worst player in the preseason. And by far.
And I'm still baffled. This is a guy that was benched most of late last season. I don't know why he's on the roster, frankly. I think he's like their ninth defenseman. he's pretty bad. And Erickson's looked pretty good. I mean, he's been steady. I mean, you know, he hasn't been too noticeably bad out there. You know, you know, a lot of times you look for these guys to panic. He doesn't show any panic out there, and he's basically been paired with Emminger. So,
right. Like we said last year about Sauer, if you don't notice them on the ice, that's a good thing. And you know, I think he's not as far. You know, he's obviously. Yeah, I thought he took too many penalties in the preseason, and I even think he took one. I forgot which game, but he took one there also on a stupid pick play. The other thing that this team needs to do is to stay out of the friggin' box. They can't give these teams 6 and 7 power plays. You can't win giving a team 6, 7 power plays a night. And eventually, and it did. I mean, it burnt them in L.A. You know, against LA, I should say. They got to relax. I don't know if they just they just can't keep up because of the competition. But they took a lot of penalties in preseason too. So I honestly don't know where the discipline factor comes into play. And it's the same and it seems like it's the same guys taking penalties. It's Boyle. It's Erickson. It's Emminger. I mean, it seems like it's the same guys. So.
Didn't Doobie have a penalty fest? I think it was in game two, right? Yeah,
half-ass fighting with Corey Perry.
What was that about? Let's talk about that. That was old school because they had like this lame-o fight. I don't know if you saw this, Jim. Corey Perry and him fight, right? And nobody connects. It's like worthless. It's like me and you fighting. Like, you know, nobody's going to land anything. Even though I haven't taken some boxing lessons, you know, the whole thing. But still. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they don't give them fighting majors. The referees think so lowly of this fight, they gave them roughings. This is like 1979 calls. 2-minute roughing and 2-minute slashing for the both of them.
And
no fighting.
Aren't the jerseys supposed to be tied down?
Tie-down rule.
Isn't that a penalty if the jersey
yeah,
or isn't it a misconduct? I don't know the exact rules. Maybe somebody knows, but I was under the impression where if the jersey wasn't tied down, you got penalized somewhere along the lines. And I saw it a lot during the preseason too, where guys' jerseys were not tied down. It happened in Philly. I forgot whose jersey was around their neck. You know, I thought that was another thing that they penalize people for, but obviously they don't. Or maybe they changed the rule. I don't know.
That's a good point. And I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this freaking first period here. Dubinsky, 2 minutes for roughing. That was the fight. Then they got the right before that, Boyle for interference. Dubinsky slashing. Let me see. It was a Dubinsky, 2 minutes for high sticking. And you... Later on, Dubinsky, 2 minutes for goaltender interference. That was a ridiculous call.
That was a stupid penalty. He freaking put his foot out.
He stuck his foot out. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I'm not looking at the game through Ranger rose-colored glasses, but Hiller stuck his foot out. He gets that dumb, and then Tim Erickson sets that pick. You know, you're right. The Rangers got to stay out of the box. I don't know. Let's And plus, you know, that Fakakta fucking rink they're playing at, it's three feet short. It's the glass is about, you know, knee high. I mean, what is going on? I mean, if you're gonna set up an exhibition regulation game that counts in the NHL, build a rink.
And not only that, but Tortorella said the ice was bad. How the hell they have bad ice in Sweden?
Figure that out.
I mean, you know, I could understand if these games were, you know, in Jamaica and they had a hard time making it. In Sweden, they can't make a decent ice surface?
I mean, that's all they have to do. They're faster than that. They can get that down.
Yeah, the puck was sticking like crazy in that game.
Maybe Cap Reuterberg can give us some answers there on our Facebook page. He can tell us why the ice sucks over there. I mean, I love the fans over there into it.
I'll bet you Frölunda doesn't play on bad ice every night.
Right, when Henrik walks in, they
bet you Joel has good ice to play on.
Joel?
I don't know, guys. I mean, I think Saturday night's a big night. I'm obviously not going to say that the season's over if they don't win, but, you know, they have a very tough road trip coming up against some very good teams out west, and, you know, the Rangers don't always fare well out west. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they get on the winning track Saturday night. I think they're going to come out guns blazing. I think they're, you know, I think they're going to be good. I'm being optimistic because, you know, I really hate for them to go out west and, you know, have to play these, you know, these really good teams out there and come back, you know, for the home opener with a really bad losing record. So, you know, let's just
hope that at least they're playing the Maple Leafs for the home opener.
Yeah.
The undefeated Maple Leafs. The parade has started over there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, they went crazy when they beat Montreal.
let them have their fun. They had their fun last year.
They did the same thing last year. Where they start off the season, like 5-0?
Yeah.
Something like that, something crazy like that.
Yeah, you know, I think Joffrey Loophole is going to keep it up the rest of the year. They're right. So, all right, Rock.
All right, boys.
Thanks for the call, and hopefully next time we talk to you, the Rangers have beaten the Islanders and whoever else they've played.
Good deal. Have a good night.
All right, Rock. All right. Take it easy, buddy.
Ta-da.
Bye.
There you go.
Great Rock.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to ask, before I forget and it gets too late in the show, the Rangers next week play Tuesday. They're on the road, of course. They're out west, so the games are late. So there's a game late Tuesday, 7 p.m. 10 p.m. your time. Tuesday night against the Canucks, and then they're off Wednesday, and then Thursday night they play at 9:30 your time against the Flames. So I will leave it up to you. Do you want to do a show before these West Coast games, or do you just want to stick with Wednesday night next week?
Wednesday night's good.
Okay. So we will return next Wednesday night. Now, do you know what next Thursday is? That is a momentous occasion. Thursday, October 20th, 2011.
I certainly know what this is. This Thursday?
Next Thursday, a week from tomorrow.
So that'll be what? What date?
October 20th, 2011.
Let's see. I know it. It's coming to me. The Islanders are playing the Lightning.
Well, while that may be correct, that is not what I was going for.
The Rangers are playing the Flames?
That is also correct, and that is also not what I was going for.
Winnipeg versus Ottawa.
It is not John Rosasco's birthday. We'll give the chat room a few minutes to guess and see if anybody can come up with it, because everybody that's here has been around a long time, so they might be able to figure it out. In the meantime, do you want to bring Mandar in, or do you have something else you'd like to discuss?
Well, before we bring the great Mandar in.
Mandar just nailed it. We should have known. Next Thursday is our second anniversary of doing the show together.
Oh, God.
Next Thursday, we will enter our third year of internet radio marriage.
Wow. How the time has passed. And we're still talking about the same old thing.
The same old shit. Still can't.
Shut up, you mouth!
Still can't score on the power play. Still can't score, period. Still can't stay out of the penalty box.
Power play sucks. It's all the same thing. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and I always enjoy it.
It's been too long.
It's been too long already?
Yeah. Mandar came up with a good idea. We should do a top 10 moments from the show. I think we had a Facebook thread about that over the summer, didn't we? Favorite show moments?
Yeah.
Maybe we can put some, bring, we could do that, pull some of those, and yeah, that'd be fun. We'll try and see what we can put together for next week. Same story, different season.
Well, listen, I think, I don't know, I like it. I still feel like we're all one big family. When we get these get-togethers, man, which we got to have soon, even if it's without you, my beloved.
We got to have a get-together, even if you're not there. I like that.
Even if you're not there. I mean, with these other wackadoos here. You know, it's just to see the people and to commiserate, it's just so great. Everybody is funny. Like, I can't imagine. Everybody kind of brings their own unique wackiness to the table, which I have been to some Islander functions for covert purposes, and it's certainly not like that.
Right.
Speaking of covert happenings, how about that Islander game with 9,000 there the other night on Columbus Day afternoon, actually?
Yeah, quite a turnout.
Yeah, they're racking them in. People want to see hockey in Hempstead, let me tell you. It's fucking ridiculous.
Sorry, Charlie.
I think I said on the Facebook group, it was so quiet you could hear Little Wang packing for Quebec. How do you get 9,000 people on a holiday? What more do you need? I mean, those used to be the games. You know, you get the kids out. You get, you know, family day. And joke. Build us a new arena. Fuck you.
Can't sell out your old one. How about that? Yeah.
You know, and you know, we make a lot of fun of the Wang of Mr. Wang. We really do. I mean, obviously, we make a lot of fun. But you know, I mean, he's trying to make it work there, and those people just day in and day out prove him wrong. You know, he's like, I'm trying to make hockey work here, and they just all sit there. No, we don't give a shit. Take it or leave it.
Where's Blue Oyster Cult?
Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie.
So, you know. Well, I
we haven't broken that one out in a while.
Yeah. I uploaded this clip. This is totally non sequitur. So, this is John Tortorella on Avery.
Sean, to me, we have a better team. I think the players. Or, you know, I don't want to jam up Sean here. I think we have better players than Sean Avery, plain and simple. I can dodge it 10 different ways without trying to run Sean over. I thought he had a good camp, but I think that the makeup of our team and some of the people we've added and some of the youth that we've added as far as depth puts Sean in the spot. And I hope, you know, I wish him good luck and everything, but we've gone by that. I think we're a better club. The players that are here are better than Sean Avery.
Now, what do you get out of that?
He doesn't want to jam Sean up. But meanwhile, he jammed him up. He even said that. He's like, I don't want to shovel dirt on Sean Avery, but I guess I just shoveled dirt on Sean Avery, didn't I? He didn't want the guy. He didn't want... Oh, Jesus, hold on. Let me boot this guy.
You do your thing. Well, I think when he says we've gone by that, that means basically he's never going to see the light of day again. I think in that little thing, well, we've gone by that. And I think that is basically the end of his tenure as a Ranger. That's the way I look at it.
Despite what Colonel Sather tells the media.
Well, because Sather, I think, is championing Avery. We've talked about it on last week's show. He is championing
championing him. And obviously he's liked, you know, but not by Tortorella. And since he's making the decisions who plays and who doesn't, I don't think he can see Sean back no matter what he does in the minors, you know. It will be an interesting plot, well, to see how the plot develops. We'll see. But I like how he's throwing him under the bus.
Right.
Kind of throwing him under the bus, you know. But he loves that word jam. Rock is right. He's
overused.
Obsessed with that word jam.
Yeah.
Got a lot of jam. Jam. Well, yeah, speaking of which,
We need the doesn't Michael Jackson have a song called Jam?
I'm not all that familiar with Michael Jackson's entire catalog.
I believe he had a song called Jam, and we should figure out a way to get a clip of that song, and then, you know, every time Michael Jackson says Jam, it's just Tortorella going Jam. Why did I? Because I felt like it, Joe. Jesus. All right, you ready for Mandar?
Yes, always ready for Mandar.
Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the off season, right?
I'm not sure what that means.
Do we ever play again? I don't even remember the last time.
I get it.
We need to take travel time to play in 4 countries in 5 days, but we need to take a week and a half in between games to get back. I don't know. Maybe they weren't used to the time difference. I don't know.
Are you taking the last boat from Cairo to get back to the island? I don't know what's going on.
Not exactly. Yeah. You know, they're not doing the Islander transportation, which is like that airplane that they used in the first Major League movie where they almost wind it up. I mean,
where they're putting the duct tape on the wings?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Rangers have their own charter complete with all the amenities that you could find on Air Force One.
Recovery,
so it's not exactly a tough trip for them to get back and have to get used to it all over again.
Recovery suits.
I guess.
Get those recovery suits.
Yeah.
Well, it does give them time to try 5 different wings on the first line. So we'll see what happens with that. Was it Stepan's like the latest and greatest on that?
Yeah, they tried him out today in practice. It's still 3 days to the game, so he'll probably change his mind a few other times. He might try Pierre LaRouche up there before Saturday.
I'll tell you what, one thing is different in the first 2 games than we're used to in the past is that's winning faceoffs. Have you noticed that? Did you see Brad Richards' faceoff percentage?
No, wasn't aware.
I think Brad Richards' faceoff percentage was in the mid-60s in Game 1. I think he was over 70% in Game 2. The Rangers have dominated faceoffs in the first 2 games. Now, can you imagine what the scores might have been had they not dominated faceoffs in both games? I mean, that's a statistic of really how bad they played, is that they had control of the puck, you know, from the faceoff time and out. It was just they couldn't generate a damn thing.
Yeah, I think it's it's just such a choppy start. I even go back again. I'm glad they got the 2 points, but you know, with the preseason the way it was, I never felt like they were a cohesive team in the preseason. I felt like they had 3 different squads.
Yep.
They play, and it's like they're finally getting some practice time now, I guess, with this week between games, maybe, and
yeah,
they kind of were like kind of thrown out there, you know. So I'm kind of glad to get a point in it, you know, in each of the games. But you're right, the schedule is you know,
they definitely
can do much better than this. And I'm glad to finally, you know, if they can continue this face-off trend, that would be great.
Yeah, that's something that, again, if you want to build on something that is a positive from those first 2 games, obviously other than Lundqvist, and I really think other than that penalty McDonough took, I thought he was really good along with Girardi in these two games. Richards, I thought, was just fine. Gabrick in the first game was a lot more noticeable. But I thought the middle lines kind of disappeared quite a bit, and I think he kind of went away from Stepan's line in both games in trying to generate something. But as we've said year after year since Tortorella's been here, he doesn't have an answer. His answer to these things are, I don't know. Well, what do we got to do to get better? I don't know. He knows about Avery, you know. He knows about him. But he doesn't know how to fix the power play, or he doesn't know how to get more creative on offense. But he knows how to – what was the term used about Avery on that?
Jam.
Yeah, he knows how to jam Avery. Why doesn't he just, you know, concentrate on getting some jam in the offense there, or leave them alone? Just let them go.
Well, that's you said it very succinctly and very plainly the way I feel. It's like, you know, there's a difference between it's. I know he's got a young group, but it seems to me he's more hung up on being the teacher disciplinarian than just the coach, which I mean, like, he's trying to teach everybody to be a fantastic two-way forward, and if they aren't, then he disciplines them. Rather than just coach the game and try to win the games in every fashion. I know you have an identity of a hardworking team, but does every line – I mean, I love Ryan Callahan, but I don't want to see 12 Ryan Callahans out there. That's what I think he's striving for.
Yeah, and the deal was last year we all said, well, you know what we needed? It was a number one center who could get Gabrick going because we're a hardworking team already and we don't want to have to struggle to get a goal or two every game. And then all of a sudden you get the outburst for 8 goals and it looks like we had a great, you know, stretch of 5 games when really we had 8 goals in one and maybe, 6 combined in the others. So you got Brad Richards to do that. Well, just let them go. Just let them go. You don't have any rookie forwards. None. Not one rookie forward on this team right now. So you shouldn't have to worry about putting the guys out there. You got veterans. You rolled 4 lines for the best part of last year. Let him go. The defense is the one that you should be worrying about, and the defense is fine so far. I mean, notwithstanding a few, you know, errors or whatever, and Lundqvist has been fantastic. But the forwards, you shouldn't have to worry about at all. Just let them go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, listen, I know Mario's right. It's only 2 games, but another thing is, if you got Henrik Lundqvist in net, why are we playing, I don't know. I don't understand why we're playing so. We're still losing if we're playing the defense first game. And we still managed to lose with the best goalie in the world, arguably. I'd rather see them get. I mean, we've been stuck with this kind of team for quite a while, guys. And now we actually have a few guys that can put the puck in the net. Let's see it. First of all, stop. When I say stop, first line, I don't care who you put him with, the left wing on that line. I don't care, except don't put Dubinsky there. Keep the second, the pack line together. It makes sense. We all know they can score. They're good defensively. They'll get the 20-odd goals, all three of them. Keep it together. Now I'm hearing Boyle on the first. I don't want Boyle on the first line. What is Brian Boyle going to do in the first line? I like the way things were. The only thing is I'd like to see Stepan and Zuccarello get more ice time. You know, I want to see them play. And I'm a little worried about Stepan because Stepan played almost every game, if not every game, last year. He played the playoffs. Then he went over to the World Championships. He played in that. Now he's in this ridiculous preseason in Europe. To me, if you're going to look for the guy that I haven't seen much out of the first 2 games, again, it's the only 2 games, I would say Stefan really hasn't been a factor out there at all. And I don't know, what are you guys' feelings and the chat room's feelings on Mike Rupp in the first 2 games?
I was under the impression we were going to see a Boyle, Rupp, and Prust line that would have just been a – you remember the old Devil Crash line, that Randy McKay line that they had out there? Kind of like that, the hard forecheckers, a lot of physical work to pop in some goals. But, again, it's like, you know, you're dealing with a child with an attention span of 20 seconds behind the bench who figures if they haven't done anything in the last 2 minutes, then we got to change everything up. And it's just annoying. I mean, Mike Rupp can score. The guy can give you 10 goals. Boyle can give you 20 goals. I mean, Prust can give you 10 goals. These are guys, just go ahead and let them out there. Let them do their thing. You know, it's hard to tell, too. I think were the Rangers the visiting team in both games, or at least one of them, right? And so he wasn't able to get the matches, I think, that he wanted anyway, but you know what? For once, I'd like to see a team match us, because I don't think that the Rangers are put out a line that's defensively, you know, deficient. So as opposed to, you know, constantly changing your forward lines to match up against that incredible Bobby Ryan line, which really is the best line in hockey. I mean, any one of the Ranger lines could go ahead on that. And I know, I could have sworn I saw Carlisle constantly match him up with the Gabrick and Richards line. And that's fine. But I think on that first line, you need a physical presence. I wasn't that upset with Dubinsky, but I didn't think Dubinsky did much in any of the first two games anyway. I wouldn't mind a Boyle there. Maybe he gives them some room with a big guy forechecking. I think you want a physical presence on that third winger, the guy that gets in the corners and gets dirty. I like Wolski too. He'll never let Wolski be what Wolski can be. I mean, it's almost unfortunate the guy is going to be, you know, going to the dogs with this guy, but that's what it is.
Right. I don't know. It's just it's interesting. Again, you don't want to get too crazy. It's two games, but he's certainly frustrating as a fan. You know, it's funny. I saw the what was it? I think the Winnipeg coach. I forget his name. He was on NHL Live, and he was talking about line chemistry and how important it is. And I think about what's going on here, and there's none of that. It's like what Jim says, the tinkerer. He's got to tinker. He can't just let things alone. I mean, I know we come from a generation of fans that saw, you know, line mates stay together all year. You know, this is the way it was. Not even just the premier line, other lines. You knew who was going to be out there. I wonder what his thinking is with all this. Like, doesn't and when it has worked for the Rangers, he begrudgingly stays with it, almost waiting for it to fail, you know, to stop scoring, which eventually it has to go back to his old ways. And you know, I don't want to jam up torts here, but that is the most frustrating thing of being a Ranger fan with this coach is the lines. And I think the way offensive skilled players are, he's ready to freaking cut bait with them automatically.
The Flyers are leading the Canucks tonight 5-4. Dale Weiss has 2 goals.
Well, there it is.
I'm kidding. He is in the lineup, but he hasn't scored. I wanted Eddie to
score. Well. You want me to start on a Roman Horik rant?
I think Ethan Werick's got a hat trick.
Yeah. I love how these guys can't crack our lineup. You could have the camp of a lifetime. You'll never make the Rangers. But there's a spot for Erik Christensen.
He's got barnyard pictures.
He's got to have Torts doing something to farm animals because that's the only reason he's on this team. So, yeah, man, all right, I agree. But, you know, listen, we're bitching and moaning maybe a little too early. We'll wait till next week.
You just don't want it to become a trend. I mean, you want to stop the trend right when it happens. Yeah, it's only 2 games, okay. But if it's becoming, you know, that trend early on, you want to stop it. You don't want to continue it. And that's when you get nervous at the beginning. It's not – nobody cares about the 0-0-2 record. It's more about what you see beginning to take shape. And if you don't have things consistent, I mean, especially in the beginning of the year where you want the team to sort of try to fit together and gel together, and if you're constantly tinkering with that, then you're not going to get it at the beginning of the year. When are you going to get it? You know, game 30, we're going to say, still, who's the left wing on with Gavrik and Richards, because he's tried everybody plus the defenseman, you know?
Yes. I agree. I would love for one of those Baldos to ask Tortorella that question. Why are you obsessed with changing the lines and get to the bottom of that? So, I don't know. We got to live with it. It's frustrating, but the positive is, hey, you gave us the positive. We're great on face-offs, ladies and gentlemen.
It's our year.
It's our year. Hey, listen, they get six goals. They rot the Islanders. We're all on freaking cloud nine. Let's face it.
Oh, no. But we got to fear the young Grabner.
He started off with a nothing. I don't think...
yes.
Has he scored yet?
No.
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 I don't think Tavares has a goal yet, but I mean, again, they've only, what are they, three games, two games in?
They're two games in. They got shut out by Florida, that juggernaut of the Panthers, and then they beat Minnesota 2-1 in the amongst the few people that showed up.
See, I cannot believe Al Montoya is a starting goalie. After all the, I know he's with the Islanders, but the fact that after all these years, he's a number one in the NHL. I don't know if that's a bad sign for the Islanders or the hard work of Al Montoya.
How about being Rick DiPietro, sitting there thinking, I'm not even better than Al freaking Montoya. That's how bad. I mean. I'm not even better than say hello to my little friend, Al Montoya.
You know that Nabokov guy, you have a few good years out west, too?
What happened? What happened with Nabokov? He came to camp with them, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like number four on the depth chart behind, I think they're bringing back Chico.
Corin Hagosta.
Jamie McClellan will be back in goal for them before Nabokov.
I don't know. Nabokov, I don't know what's going on with him. But for all the money they're paying DiPietro, boy, what a colossal mistake. They
come
are
on now. He's only got about nine more years left on that contract. Nothing wrong with that. Get some cap floor.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what do we got, guy? I had something to say. Oh, yeah. This is the portion of the program. I guess, yeah. I think that's how you say it. Where I talk about lies. And I'm trying to find a thing as I look up. Yes, where I talk about lies. And deception. And I'm not talking about this show. I'm talking about the Mark Stahl situation. What is going on with Mark Stahl? Some people are reporting it's not a setback, this and that, all this. I think the less we hear, ladies and gentlemen, the worse it is. And I have to say, the thought of not having Mark Stahl back this year is, it puts, I don't know, it tears me apart. What is going on? Are we getting any updates from these clowns anymore? From MSG?
On Mark Stahl?
Yeah.
No, all they say, it's not a setback. Pay no attention to the injured defenseman behind the curtain is basically what the Rangers are telling you.
Once you get Wojtyla, really, do you have to worry about anything else?
That's true. I think once you say Wojtyla, you've said it all.
Pretty much. Already done.
Oh, God. Well,
almost,
you know.
I'm assumed to be second.
Go ahead.
and it's
I was going to... Go ahead. Thompson Twist is screwing us all up. I think it's only a headache. He'll be back before the first... he'll be back for the European preseason games. Lies, 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 yeah.
He's not flying with...
You're breaking up.
He's not flying with the team to the Coliseum.
Oh, really?
He's not flying. He's not coming out west either.
He's not?
That's what they...
No, he's out till at least the end of the month. Until we get Paul Mara, whichever comes first.
Oh, there you go. That'll solve everything. Even Andrew Gross, I'm picking up a little tongue-in-cheek action here with his report today. This is not a setback. It's just that Mark Stahl is not expected to join the Rangers for practice this week, which means Stahl, their all-star defenseman out with post-concussion headaches, won't be available Saturday against the Islanders and most likely will not accompany the Rangers on a four-game Western Canada trip that follows immediately after. And it wasn't a setback last week when the team's top defenseman did not join them in Stockholm, Sweden for their first two games after general manager Glenn Sather had suggested he was hopeful that would happen. These can't be setbacks because of the opening and indefinite nature of Stahl's symptoms. The facts, though, are this. Stahl skated with Connecticut on September 30th and October 1st, and he hasn't been on the ice since. Now he won't be on the ice this week.
There it is.
But it's not a setback.
Wow, it's not a setback.
How is it, I still maintain, how is it not a setback when at the beginning of the preseason or training camp, whatever it was, they made that announcement, he's not going to play the preseason games, but he will be ready for the regular season. He will be ready for the opening of the regular season. Now we are two games in. We're going to be at least seven games in. And he's still not ready. And this isn't a setback?
They were talking about the opening of the NBA season.
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, just stop. This has got me so disheartened now. I was trying to stay away from it because I didn't want to be... I think this may turn into a Book-a-Boom situation. But we just... It gets worse and worse, and we just don't see him. Like, it's getting with Crosby. I mean, I know a lot of people hate Sidney Crosby and hate him, but it really is. If he goes out like this, it sucks. I'm sorry. I'm a hockey fan, too. I mean, I can't stand his Weasley face and the whole thing, but what he's brought to the game and, you know, a premier player to go out like, it sucks. It freaking sucks. And... if this happens to Mark Stahl, it sucks even more because he's a Ranger.
Well, it really sucks because you know that in 10, 15 years, Crosby won't sign with the Rangers if he doesn't come back.
Right. We won't get him on his way out.
Right.
Right. So.
Well, I still say I stick by my hunch. No Mark Stahl before the new year.
I got to say, you were all over that one.
And I set the over-under at Thanksgiving, right? And, you know, we're starting to, you know, now we're starting to creep into mid-October, and they're saying at least not through this trip. So when's the home opener? The 27th? Is it the 27th of October? So, you know, if he's not ready then you're only a month away from Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, I got a bad feeling about this, the way they've handled it and the way they've shushed everything and kind of brushed everything off. I'm telling you, it's pay no attention to the concussed defenseman behind the curtain. Everything's fine. Just a flesh wound. Look at that Monty Python thing. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, it's just a mere flesh wound.
Just a mere flesh
wound. Pay no attention to it.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. And again, this is a guy they just locked up. Again, 9 months without any kind of diagnosis or a doctor or anything. I mean, we don't know if there were, but... I know the way this team operates. There wasn't. And
I'm really disappointed because out of all the Rangers that had the potential to become the next, you know, to go to the next level and actually become a bona fide star, he was an all-star last year, is Mark Stahl. And I still don't think this whole story, because we live where we do and we follow this, but we do, should be like, if this was any other major sport, this would be like, what the hell are these clowns doing with our player? He's a premier player.
Well, look at all the flack the Mets caught. Was it two years ago? I don't even remember who it was now. Got a concussion, and then they put him right on a plane. Who was? Do you remember who that was? That whole thing went down.
I don't follow baseball that much. Maybe Andor knows.
The Mets, the same thing. They had a guy with a concussion, and then immediately, you know, they didn't diagnose it properly, and they put the guy on a plane and made him fly for 5 hours. I don't know. Somebody will come up with it. But, they're just handled very badly.
Terribly. I mean,
it was Jason.
And especially with the way concussions are looked at now with such scrutiny and such care, you know, the Rangers have 9 specialists on concussions in the locker room.
Ryan Church, that's who it was. Thank you, guys. Ryan Church.
Ryan Church. I don't even remember that guy. Is he still on the team?
Negative.
It's a disgrace as far as I'm concerned.
They have experience with this, not just Bukaboom. Remember, Richter also ended his career with concussions. They certainly know how to handle it. LaFontaine got hit by Mike Keane and he was out, you know, for the rest of his career. Well, they certainly know how to handle concussions. It is a mystery, but do you wonder if Mark Stahl was the one that didn't say anything to the Ranger management? Because if it happened way back in January and he was having issues, unless he brought it up to their attention, I can't see the Rangers actually putting a guy out there with concussion syndrome. I mean, I'm also ready to blame the Ranger brass for this, but if they're putting out a guy that has had so much, you know, physical contact since that January game, right? He played the whole year plus the playoffs. You know, is it that they didn't diagnose something that they wouldn't have known about unless Stahl didn't say something to him? Did Stahl only say something to him over the summer? I mean, it does kind of reach of something strange, you know. It seems way too far between, you know, the time where it happened and now for all of a sudden to be hearing about these symptoms. I don't want to talk conspiracy theories here or anything, but who's to say he didn't have some sort of an accident or something over the summertime, and that's when something happened to him, and, you know, now they're trying to reach back for an excuse on something. I don't know. But it seems to me awful fishy that you could get pounded, and these guys, look at freaking, you know, Crosby or anybody else that got basically knocked out, and they couldn't function. And Crosby took a minor hit from Victor Hedman 2 games later before it put him out for the rest of the year. How many times did Mark Stahl go and hit guys hard after that January game? I mean, the games against Ovechkin alone would have caused a lot of those collisions. So I'm just saying, it seems real fishy to me to reach back for a January game to blame for something that he played every game since then, took a lot of hits since then, and only time we hear of any kind of injury situation was right before camp starts.
Maybe he fell at his bachelor party.
You know, it could be anything. But at the same time, it just seems very strange that they could reach back that far to talk about symptoms now, and yet he played as physical as anybody on the Rangers or more so for the rest of the year.
Fatherly juices.
For the final 35 games or so, plus the playoffs, and had no symptoms that we heard of. And like I said, Crosby took a little hit from Hedman and was out for the rest of the year after getting nailed in the head.
I think you're right. I think the Rangers couldn't be, again, I can't believe I'm saying, the Rangers brass could not be this remiss and stupid about this. Even then,
if a player came to them and said, listen, well, this happened with Gavrik, though, last year, too. That's another thing. Maybe these players aren't that forthcoming about telling them about these headaches because they know it could be the end of their careers. I don't know. Certainly, I can't see them letting him play in the playoffs and the remainder of the season if he came to them and said, listen, I'm not feeling well. Maybe this is something that arose in the summer. He thought it would go away once he started training camp. It didn't, and that's where they started with this whole thing. I mean, that certainly could be the case. But the way this organization has proved to me in the past, I think it's just a bunch of lies.
It just doesn't make sense. That's all to me. I don't understand it. I mean, it could be the Brian Leach slipping on the snow in front of his apartment type of thing that happened. Who knows? But it makes no sense to me how a guy could get hit in January, play physical for the whole rest of the year, all of a sudden you hear about his symptoms as training camp starts. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It certainly. Well, but then after it's all said and done, okay, now he's got a problem. What's coming out of their camp is not very consistent. They're not on board with the same message. He's going to be back now. He's going to be back then, you know. And then with, Mr. Magoo's statement that maybe it's just headaches. I mean, it just, to me, there seems not to be a lot of good communication amongst the organization when it comes to things like this. On an issue that is one of the main issues in the league.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
So, we'll see what happens. What's going on with you? Everybody's asking Jim questions about his background. Let me take a look at this video of him here. I got to take a look at what you're streaming there. Everybody's talking about what you got in the back. Let me see. Oh, there you are. Well, you're ducking out of the way, you son of a bitch.
So you can see what's behind me.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like peekaboo. You're playing peekaboo with me. Hey, what's up? Oh, there's the Ranger blanket. Wow.
Why is it on the wall?
Just felt like hanging it up. You know, trying to give like a studio effect. You know, you hang the big Ranger logo. You know, like Jim Gordon and Bill Chadwick, standing in front of the big Ranger logo interviewing Jean-Guy Talbot.
Yeah. Well,
just like that.
And when we had the late John Alligan on, and he was saying that sometimes they would disappear between periods and he'd have to do the interview because they were off drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Bill and Jim and Bill? Well, they're off drinking. And I got to say, the one game that Sam Rosen did, he's in full season form, let me tell you. He is, God, do we deserve better than that mishmash that they give us. Oh, it's terrible. But hopefully we get back to some normal hour times because I'll be on Twitter, making fun of the broadcast. But isn't it weird how they don't have anybody there live in these European games? They're kind of doing it from the studio. It reminded me like when they used to do those games over the, you hear about those, the old baseball games they would do like over the teletype or the telegraph, and the guy on the radio would hit the, like a piece of wood and go, I don't know, Pie Trainer hits one in the right field. really, seriously.
I got 50,000 here at Yankee Stadium today. Peanuts coming back. Coming in the air, he steps up to the plate. He's up there against Cy Young. And he takes the first pitch. Oh, it's a base hit to right field. Garrett's going to come around to score. Here's Lazzari in the second. Save! Oh, it's a close play at second base, and the umpire calls him save. Hey, hot dog! Hey, what do you got with him?
You did that pretty good, man.
Mario said, it's always food with you. Pie Trainer. we could have said Nap La Hoy.
Yeah.
I don't like pie. You guys know I like cake. I'm a cake man.
Cookie Lavaggetto.
Cookie Rojas.
Cookie Rojas.
I'm still laughing over that that simulation you did over there. Hot dogs, yeah?
Head hits. Any head hit.
The I-9 reporter.
Well, you guys got me laughing. What else we got, Robin? What else is in the
news? What else is in the news?
Thanks for the Falcons.
I think that's about it.
Oh, we got James. Well, he's on hold.
Oh, get James on. I'd like to see what he thinks of the first two games.
Hi, James.
Hey, buddy. What's up, man?
You doing?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. Not much. What's going on with you guys? I just got in, so I didn't get to hear anything yet.
Oh, you didn't hear my recreation of the 1934 Cincinnati Redlegs?
Yeah, that was just the thing you just did, right? Like Eddie was saying with the teletype, and they would just make up some bullshit that it was a strike or a ball or it was hit. They just knew it was a single, but they didn't know where.
Right. Well, it's just like John Sterling now.
That guy's terrible, man. He's horrible.
So anyway, what's going on, James? What do you, how are you handling these first two games?
You know what? I was actually talking to my nephew about it. We were discussing it, and he's like, Uncle James, you know, you got to realize these guys, they traveled across the world, you know. They're in Sweden, then they're flying somewhere else, and they come back, and then he goes, wouldn't you be freaking tired too? He goes, he's telling me, they didn't look right. They looked tired and out of sync and everything. I guess you're right, you know. So, you know, that's basically it, you know. I was thinking about it myself, and I'm like, you know, these guys must be freaking, you know, so tired, man. I mean, they were all over the place, and, you know, they didn't even get a chance to play, you know what I mean? Like, when you're playing preseason, you know, lines ain't all together yet. You know, a lot of guys are being held out, and it's still looking to the young guys, you know, see who's going to make the team or not. So, you know, in the first couple of games, it's like, you know, I'm looking, and we looked horrible, you know. I mean, we all know that. And you know, so I'm just trying to take it as my nephew said it, because he's like this guy is like a genius, and I listen to him, and usually what he tells me is right. So I'm going to go with him and say that these guys were just over traveled, over this, over that, whatever you want to call it, and let's wait and see. You know, as we get back into a routine of playing, you know, with the regular team playing every other night, and then every two games in a row, and you know, start seeing how they develop that way.
Yeah, that's certainly, like Mandar said, with the travel and the week off now. Now
exactly. There you go. And I didn't even hear that part. But, yeah, that's what he was saying, too.
Yeah, and we mentioned this last week with James. I mean, these are my sports worries. My Ranger worries are now it's going to be, they've been off a week. They forgot how to play. They're going to be sailing on against the Islanders. And then... I don't know. I always feel when they play the Islanders, it's a no-win situation for us, because we beat them. Yeah, we were supposed to beat them. We lose to them. It still gets to me after all these years. And
same
here. I gotta work on that, though.
I'm just like you, man. It's like they put some kind of what do you call it? You know, it's like it's embedded in our brain from back in time when we saw all those cups being won and. At the expense of us being, you know, we always had this thing that we hung in there with them, but we can never, you know, even though we'd be down 3-1 or whatever, and then we come back and you think we're going to come back and tie it up, or we have game 6 at MSG and then we're thinking game 7, anything could happen, and never happened. We couldn't win the game 6. So, you know, it's like, yeah, right? It happened all the time. So I'm to that point of like, you know, we were like shell-shocked for all those years, you know? So I know exactly what you mean. And it's like the Islanders have been sucking for years, and like we're supposed to win. It's almost like a Yankee type thing that we're supposed to beat the Islanders. So if we win, it's like big deal. But if they win, you know, it's a bigger deal. So you know, like you said, it doesn't matter what you know. We're supposed to win. We have the higher payroll, whatever you want to call. Always had had the better players supposedly. So let's hope they come out and do something. Hopefully they did rest. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, who knows? Who knows until we see them again.
Well, you know, I look for Mandar a lot of times in these situations because he does see things a little bit more clearly Especially he gives the Islanders absolutely no credit, and they deserve absolutely no credit. But I'm just thinking to myself now, they're not even going to be here in 3 years, so what do I care?
There you go. Hey, you see what I wrote on the Facebook? When you wrote your thing about the Rangers and stuff, I said, don't worry, Amanda, I'll be on the suicide hotline for anybody tonight. I mean, because, you know, like last week, you know, we have everybody, you know, being down
imagine,
about it and everything, and, you know, and he put things into perspective more or less, you know. And that was the same way I'm trying to think, you know. Let me put it in perspective here. You know, these guys have been, you know, like we said, they've been traveling on, you know, all over the place. I mean, me, I get tired from getting up in the morning and coming home, you know, doing anything. I can go take a walk years ago, you know, get a newspaper, I'm tired. So, you know, these guys, you know, traveling and, you know, practicing and you know, trying to get, you know, new players on the team now. You're trying to get things together, see who clicks, who doesn't. And, you know, it's going to take a little time, I think. You know, I'm not going to get, you know, to the point of worrying right now, you know. The same thing my nephew tells me is, hey, if we would have won one and lost one, would you have been happy? I was like, yeah, I guess so. He goes, think of it that way, right? We split. So we got 2 points. It's not like we're coming home with nothing, so don't worry about it. So, okay, I'll, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
That's the way I'm looking at it. You know, I'm like, all right, we got the 2 points, you know. Yeah, we lost. We could have had two more. You know, it was right there. But what are you going to do, you know?
I'm still thinking about Mandar on the suicide hotline.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, you should have one. Set one up.
Who gives a shit?
Kill yourself.
Hey, yeah, kill
you
yourself.
What?
If you don't believe, then just kill yourself. You're not worth it anyway.
In the compassion department, I don't give Mandar much. I mean, you know, for the people he loves people that he don't care about, which is the majority of
he would say, who cares? Just go. Jump off the building. We don't need you.
You're wasting time on the phone for it. Yeah. Get in your car, roll up the windows, and turn the engine on.
Yeah, man. Unless you have one of them new cars that shuts off automatically in the garage door, you know. So.
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah, you know, they have those cars, man. You know, you can't even kill yourself if you want. You know, just the car automatically realizes and it shuts itself off. So.
You just got to be more creative, that's all.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Get a gun like with a, you know, I don't know. Get a string or something, and get a gun and put it in the corner and like one of them cameras, you know.
James has thought this out.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I've been thinking about it. So you know, you get like you know one of them cameras that you wait for a couple seconds, you run back with everybody else, and the picture flashes. But you do the same thing with a gun. You have some kind of timer or something. There you go. You get it. That's what they should invent, some kind of gun timer. That way, nobody knows who did anything.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
I think on that note, I think we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, we're definitely messed up. Everybody, I think, is you know a little bit. I know I am, so
don't worry about it.
All right. Now that James has brought us all to
so new head low. Hits, any head hit.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Thanks for the Falcons.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
All right, everybody. We'll see you guys next Wednesday night.
All right. Take care,
guys.
Everybody.
Catch you
good
later.
Night.
Good night.